Welcome, everyone, to Revival Radio. We're a teaching ministry with Pastor John Miller of Revival Christian Fellowship here in Southern California. We're beginning our series today called Mysteries of the Kingdom from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. In verses 1 and 2, we read, Jesus sat by the seaside. A great number of people gathered together to hear him, so many that he went to sit on a boat as the multitude stood on the shore. Let's listen to Pastor John Miller as we hear the parable of the sower and the seeds.
Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin a series on the mysteries of the kingdom. Several weeks in Matthew 13, looking at the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom parables are found in Matthew chapter 13. Today we look at the story known as the parable of the sower and the seed. We're going to look at verses 1 to 23. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside," that would be the Sea of Galilee, "and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went unto a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony ground, or stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns," verse 7, "and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 30, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, there's a familiar saying that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I know that if you can make good mashed potatoes, you've won my heart. If you can make a good chocolate cake, you've double won my heart. And maybe some of you young ladies, when you were trying to get to know a guy a little better, I won't say snag him or catch him, but that's really what you were trying to do. You invited him over for dinner and you fixed this great big meal and you thought, I'm going to win his heart with this dinner. But instead, you just gave him heartburn. Maybe halfway through the meal, he said, this is really good, but how about we go to McDonald's now? Now, Jesus tells us, though, in Matthew 13, that the way to a man's heart is not through his stomach, but through his ears. How interesting. In verse 9, Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him" what? "Hear." Now, I want you to take just a minute and check it out, make sure, see if you have your ears on today. Because this parable that we're going to look at is one of the most important in the entire Word of God. And the subject that we have to deal with is an important subject because we're talking about how you hear the Word of God, how you receive the Word of God, and how it changes your life, or whether it changes your life or not. It's so important that we hear the Word. It's important that we hear, it's important what we hear, the Word. It's important that we become doers of the Word. Now, the rebellion and rejection of the scribes and Pharisees results in Jesus' teaching on the mysteries of the kingdom. Notice in verse 11, Jesus answering the disciples' question, "Why teachest thou in parables?" And we'll get there in just a moment. He said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Notice that. Jesus is giving to them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's not going to be talking about the church specifically, but he's going to be talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is something that in ages past, in biblical terminology, Old Testament times, was not revealed by God, but now New Testament times, today, has been revealed. A mystery isn't something that we can't understand. It's something we can't understand unless God reveals it, and He has revealed it. You see, the church is not revealed in the Old Testament, but it is clearly in the New. It is a New Testament mystery. The rapture is not taught or explained or talked about in the Old Testament, but it is a mystery in the New Testament. Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so there's the mystery. Paul speaks of the mystery of iniquity. So a mystery is something that wasn't known, but now is made known to the saints of God by the Lord. It's known as progressive revelation. The Old Testament doesn't fully reveal everything that we find completely revealed in the New Testament. It's sometimes concealed in the Old, but revealed in the New. So Jesus is teaching the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the time period between his first coming and his second coming. The mysteries of the kingdom deal with the period between the two comings of Jesus Christ. And specifically, listen very carefully, how men and women will respond to the Word of God. You see, in Matthew chapter 12, they had just rejected their king. That is, the scribes and the Pharisees. The populace at large was still pretty much receptive, but ultimately they would reject him and he would be crucified. But during this time that we do know as the age of grace or the church age, will everyone believe? Will everyone receive? Will everyone listen to the Word of God? Will everyone receive the Word of God? And so Jesus, especially in his parable of the sower and the seed, explains what happens when the seed is sown. Do men receive the Word? Now, notice the place of his teaching in verses 1 and 2. The same day, Jesus went out of the house, possibly Peter's house in Caesarea near the Sea of Galilee, but we really don't know. But he did go down by the seaside. This is the Sea of Galilee. This is one of the most beautiful places there in Israel. Beautiful freshwater lake, about 13 miles long, about 8 miles wide. Just as blue as you can imagine. Just a beautiful freshwater lake, teeming with fish. Beautiful place to water ski. It's just so glassy most of the day. It's just beautiful. And Jesus is standing by the shore, and thousands of people begin to crowd around him. You see, he hadn't been fully rejected by the people yet. And so because they were pressing him, he stepped into a little boat. King James says ship, but it would be better to think of it as a small little boat, probably only about a 10, 15 footer. And he pushed just a little short distance off from shore. Now, this would form a natural amphitheater. The land would slope down to the water's edge. He would come off the water's edge into the ocean, into the water. And over the water, you know that acoustically, your voice carries quite well. And so Jesus turns a boat into his pulpit. And he cruises out and he sits down on the boat and everybody's standing there on the shore. That was the place of his teaching. Now, notice, secondly, the plan of his teaching in verse 3. He spake many things unto them in what? Parables. As it's been said, Jesus was a storytelling man. And man, could he tell a story. You say, what is a parable? The Greek word is parabole. And it means to lay alongside. Parabole. To lay alongside. And what it was a story laid alongside spiritual truth. To illustrate it. Rather than just give it straight, Jesus would tell a story and then give it spiritual application. This is the way someone's defined it, and I think it's quite good. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus spoke to them in parables. Now, why did Jesus teach in parables? If you notice with me in verse 10, the disciples asked the same question. The disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them, meaning the people at large, in parables? Good question. Now let's read it. Notice his answer. He said unto them, verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore spake I unto them in parables, because that seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears, they are dull of hearing, and their eyes, notice, they, not God, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. You see the idea there is Jesus is revealing mysteries that Old Testament prophets didn't fully comprehend or understand. Now, to summarize this passage, why did Jesus speak in parables? Number one, he spoke in parables to reveal or to awaken. Jesus spoke in parables to draw out those who wanted to know the deeper meaning and significance. So he was speaking in parables to reveal. Number two, he was speaking in parables to conceal. Now this is where we have problems. Why would God try to conceal the truth from individuals? This is the answer. Only because these individuals have already hardened their hearts, so that they would hear the parable, but they weren't really hearing because their hearts were hardened. They would see what Jesus was saying, but they wouldn't really see it with spiritual eyes. They would hear, but they wouldn't understand. You see, it wasn't as though that God is trying to keep them from the truth, but it's actually, God is actually separating them. It's kind of like the same sun that melts wax hardens clay, right? And so the parable would either harden them or melt them, depending upon what the condition of their heart was. If their heart was like wax, it would melt them. If their hearts were hardened, it would harden them in their already sinful condition. Jesus is not saying here, I'm speaking in parables because I don't want them to understand. It's because they have chosen of their own free will not to understand. Their eyes, they have closed. Now, let's look at the first parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 13. And it's commonly called the sower and the seed. The parable is for us in verses 3 through 9. In verses 3 through 9, Jesus gives the parable. Now, there are three basic symbols that are important in this parable. There is the seed, there is the sower, and there is the soil. Those are the three key elements in understanding the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed, the sower, and the soil. Now, first of all, what does the seed represent? The seed represents the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it makes it very clear that the seed is the Word of God. God's Word is like seed. You know, seeds are wonderful, as well as the Bible is a wonderful thing. You can throw a seed in a drawer and leave it there for years, go back years later, take the seed, plant it, and it produces life, right? Archaeologists found some seeds in a pyramid they were excavating in Egypt, and they estimated they'd been there for several thousand years. And yet they were able to take these seeds, plant them, and they grew into plants. So the Bible, like seed, has life in it. It's the living Word of God. These are not just dead words on the pages of Scripture. This is the living Word of God. I like the idea that God thus speaks through what He has spoken. You say, oh, the Bible was written so many years ago. But yet it speaks to us today, right where we're at. It's the living, active Word of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. The most priceless possession that you own in this world is your Bible, the Scriptures. Not only is the Word of God wonderful like seed, but it's powerful like seed. heard the story of a guy that had a little New Testament, and on the spine it was too small to write the word, the New Testament, so they just abbreviated it with the initials TNT. And that's quite fitting because the Bible is dynamite. It's the Word of God. This is TNT. It's the powerful Word of God, and it'll work in your life. You know, you can take a seed and plant it, and then you can pour concrete over the top, and that seed germinate and grow, break right through the concrete. You ever seen an oak tree or a plant just grow right through concrete or right through asphalt? The power of the Word of God, it has power to change your life. And thirdly, it is fruitful. It will produce fruit in your life. You know, if I go into an apple orchard, and this is the time of the year to go to Oak Glen, by the way, and you go into the orchards and you pick yourself an apple, not only do you go in the orchard to pick an apple, but in the apple is an orchard. Ever think about that? You walk away in your hand the potential for another orchard. All the fruit exponentially that can grow out of the seeds found in that one piece of fruit. And the Word of God planted in your life, please take heed how you hear, listen very carefully, can produce fruit. It can change your life when you plant the seed, the Word of God, in your heart. It's not enough just to be born again. You need the Word of God dwelling in you richly. And the Word of God changing and transforming your life like seed and producing fruit in your life. Then the second image is the sower. Now, verse 37 of Matthew 13 tells us that the sower is the Son of Man. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. Mark's gospel in the fourth chapter tells us very clearly that the sower of the seed was the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He came sowing the seed, the Word of God, preaching and teaching the things of the kingdom. For us today, I believe that we should be sowing the seed, the Word of God. All of us should be farmers. Now, it works quite well with me, Farmer John. And really, that is what God has called me chiefly to do, is to sow the seed, the Word of God. I'm to be busy sowing God's seed. But you are too. When you come on Sunday and you hear the Word and you receive the Word, then what you should do is take the Word somewhere else. You go to work and you sow seed, the Word of God. You go back to your neighborhoods and you sow the seed, the Word of God. And you're planting that which is powerful and living and has the capacity to change lives. I don't think any man ought to be preaching the Bible unless he believes it's the Word of God. And he believes that it has power to change lives. Otherwise, he's just wasting his time and others' time. I have great faith in Scripture and its ability to change a person's life, because I know it's God's living Word. It can change a person from the inside out. And so the sower is the one who shares the Word of God. And we should go out in confidence, in patience, in prayerfulness, and we should sow God's Word. But the main focus of the parable is on the soil. It's on the soil. That is why I don't believe we should actually call this the sower and the seed. Because that's not the focus of the parable. The focus of the parable is what? The soils. Four different kinds of soils. Those things that the seed landed on, those soils, are the focus of the parable. Now, go back for just a moment to verse 4. There are four categories of soil. First, there was, verse 4, the seed that fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. This is the hard soil. The fields would have foot trails or footpaths, and the people would walk through them. They didn't have highways to drive their cars in. They didn't have cars, but they would walk most places, and they would have their foot trails. And some of the seed, the sower would just gather his apron in front of him, and he would take the seed by hand, and he would just throw the seed as he walked through the field, and some of it fell on the hard beaten path. The second category is in verse 5. It's the stony soil. Some fell upon stony places. This is a shallow layer of soil with rock underneath, And the seed had no depth that sprang up, but because it did not have a root system, the sun came up and it withered away. And then the third category, verse 7, is the thorny soil, fell among thorns, and sprang up and choked out the seed. It became unfruitful. And then the fourth category is in verse 8, fell on good ground. So we have the wayside, the hard path, we have the stony place, we have the thorny ground, and then we have the good ground. Now, what do the different kinds of soil represent? Here's the answer simply. They represent your heart and my heart. They represent the heart of man. That's what I meant when I said the way to a man's heart is through his ears. God wants to reach our hearts. God is concerned with our hearts. There is no substitute for the preaching, teaching, and proclamation of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to preach it and publish it and get out the Word of God. But the soil represents our hearts. So let's go now to verse 18 and see how Jesus applies it to our lives. And we're going to look at the four hearts of man as represented in these soils. First heart is the hard heart, or the unresponsive heart. The hard heart or the unresponsive heart, verses 18 and 19. Jesus says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." By the way, when you're reading the parables and studying them, try to find out how Jesus interpreted them. Better than you trying to read into them what you think they mean, let Jesus interpret the parables for you. So Jesus tells us what they mean. He said, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one," represented by the birds, "catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." Now, notice Satan's work in stealing the seed that is sown on the stony ground. Now, in your mind's eye, picture seed being sown on a concrete walkway. I know that in my front yard, whenever I, fertilize or I sow seed in the yard, some of it falls on the sidewalk. And you can see the seed laying there. And it's so easy for the birds to come down and just pick it right off the hard concrete. Well, the same is the image. There's these seeds and they don't penetrate. They're just laying on the surface. And so the birds swoop down and they eat all the seed that is there on the hard beaten path. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded their minds lest they should believe the gospel and be saved. So there is the activity of the devil. Whenever I preach the Bible, as I am right now, what we're reading about is going on in this room right here, right now. There's seed being sown. Some of the seed is falling on hardened hearts. And Satan goes to church just like you do every Sunday morning. And he's here to keep you from receiving God's word.
It's great news to know that those seeds that fall on good soil will produce a harvest beyond our wildest dreams. We know this because God's word says so. Now Jesus asks the question here in the book of Matthew, "Are you really listening to what I'm saying to you?" Our answer today is, "Yes, Lord, we are paying attention today, and thank you, Lord, for your gracious word. Amen." You know, if you'd like a copy of today's message titled Mysteries of the Kingdom, please give us a call at this number, 866-9-REVIVAL. That's 866-973-8482. Now, don't forget, you can access all of Pastor John's current teachings as well as archives of past broadcasts by visiting us online at our website, revival.tv. Tons of resource there. Check it out, revival.tv. We would love for you to worship with us the next time you're in our area. Our Sunday service times are at 8 a.m., 9:45, 11:30, or 6 p.m. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. The church is located at 29220 Scott Road in Menifee, California, zip code 92584. And if you can't join us in person, be sure to join us online at revival.tv. That's revival.tv. By the way, the website is a great way to get all of Pastor John's current teachings as well as access to past broadcasts. Again, our website address is revival.tv. You know, to all of you, our radio listeners, we want to invite you to a very special episode coming up February 24th. It's Revival Radio as we sit down with Pastor John Miller for an informal yet informative time of Q&A, questions and answers with Pastor John. Please remember, if you'd like Pastor John to answer your questions on a future broadcast, you can email them to radio@revival.tv. That's radio@revival.tv. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, may we continue to preach the word, be ready in season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.